Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Trudy Weekman, so that people are able to hear the message of salvation. Today's lesson comes from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate the day of Epiphany. Now, strictly speaking, today is not Epiphany. That's because Epiphany always falls on the same day, which is January the 6th. You see, after 12 days of celebrating Christmas and the Christmas season on January the 5th, we turn our attention on January the 6th towards the season of Epiphany. The season has changed, and we went from Christmas to Epiphany. That's what has happened. Now, what is Epiphany all about? Well, Epiphany comes from a Greek word which means to manifest or to appear. And so in the season of Epiphany, we celebrate and focus on the fact that the Lord Jesus has revealed himself to be the Savior of the world, that our God has appeared in his creation in order to save mankind. And we do this and have done it traditionally by focusing on several different stories, but really kind of three chief ones. The first story is on the baptism of Jesus. You'll remember this, where Jesus goes to the River Jordan and John the Baptist baptizes him. And when he does that, a dove descends from heaven and a voice is heard that says, Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And what we see in that story is the Lord God, the Holy Trinity, revealing himself in his three persons as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and also identifying Jesus with God the Son. So we get this revelation that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we also get this revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son. So a revelation of who God is and also identifying Jesus as God. And so that story is particularly remembered and celebrated in the season of Epiphany. Another story that we often recall or recount during the season of Epiphany is kind of the beginning of Jesus' ministry with his first miracle at Cana. You'll remember this one. It's where Jesus goes to a wedding feast and they run out of wine. And so Mary, his mother, asks him to provide more wine for the people. And even though Jesus says it's not quite his time, he fulfills his mother's wishes anyways and provides the best wine for the feast. Here we get the revelation of Jesus in his ministry. He shows himself by performing a miracle to be a miracle worker, and of course much more than a miracle worker, to be God in the flesh, to be the one who commands and controls the creation, the one who cares for his people, the one who provides joy and gladness by giving wine for the feast. So this, again, is a very fitting story for the season of Epiphany, where we're focusing on the fact that God has manifested, that God has appeared to his people. And the final story is really perhaps the chief story of Epiphany, and that's the one we're focusing on today. That story is the story of the appearance of the Magi from the East who bring their gifts to the baby Jesus. And this story, as we'll discuss more here in just a moment, is a story where we learn that God reveals himself to all people, to all nations, to all languages and tongues, to all of mankind, and not merely to one particular subset of people, not just to those who consider themselves worthy, but Jesus is the Savior of all. Okay, so we turn our attention now then to this story from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, the story of the appearance of the Magi. And the first thing I want you to notice is that after Jesus is born in Bethlehem, wise men from the East come to Jerusalem. Now, a couple of words here. First, from the East. These men come from the East, and it's worth knowing that from the East, here in St. Matthew's Gospel, functions very much the same way as it does today. You might think of something coming from the East. You maybe used to say from the Orient or something like that. And the sense is that this thing is exotic. This is not something that you would normally deal with. It's not average, everyday sort of stuff. It's not the kind of stuff that you can get here in the West. It's stuff that comes from the East. So these men are foreigners. They are outsiders. They don't fit in with the people in Jerusalem, and that's because they are from the East. Secondly, we should talk about this word wise men. These are wise men, not in the sense that they are kind of knowledgeable about things, though they are, but they're wise men in that they are magi, or we might say today magicians or soothsayers or fortune tellers or something like that. These are the kind of people who practice the kind of things that the people in Jerusalem would certainly look down on. They would not be in favor of the sort of things that these men are doing, and so it's a total surprise that they would show up from the East in Jerusalem, these outsiders, these people who look like they don't belong. And it's very surprising that they show up, partially because they show up at all, but perhaps most importantly because of what they come looking for. As they say in verse 2, when they arrive, the Magi say, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So it's surprising that these outsiders would show up, but it's even more surprising that they would come to Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews and expecting to go and worship him. So all of Jerusalem is quite surprised. Herod hears this in verse 3, and he is troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him is troubled by these outsiders who show up unclean perhaps, and looking for a king that even God's people don't expect. And so Herod does perhaps what we might expect him to do as the Jewish king. He calls together his chief priests and his scribes, that is, his experts in God's word, and he asks them where the long-promised Savior is to come from. And so the scribes and the chief priests do very diligently what we would expect them to do. They turn their attention to God's word, and they say, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. And here they turn to the prophet Micah, who says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And so the people here learn from God's word where they should expect the Messiah to come from, and that is Bethlehem in Judah. And before they send the Magi on their way, King Herod calls them together secretly, and he asks them about how they learned that the king was born and when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he tells them, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And we, of course, know from later on in Matthew's gospel that this is a trick. King Herod is threatened by the birth of the King Jesus and intends to do him harm, and so he's trying to gather information from the Magi. Of course, the Magi won't wind up returning back to King Herod, because as we learn at the end of the reading that they are warned in a dream not to, so they don't. But the Magi continue on their way. They go to Bethlehem. The star stops over the place where the child is, there with his mother. And when they find him, they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. And they go and they find the child and they bow down and they worship him. And not only do they worship him, but they open their treasuries and they provide for him gifts, famously of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. Brothers and sisters, what we can see in this story is that long ago and all the way up into the present day, there are kings and principalities and powers that would oppose the Lord Jesus and his reign. They would do all that they can by hook or by crook to oppose him, and yet we see that the Lord Jesus evades and eludes their best attempts to overthrow him. But perhaps more importantly, we see that the people of God are prone to a particular kind of problem. They're prone to exclusivity, to thinking that they are some sort of club that maintains exclusive membership, and that it can set guidelines and rules for who gets to get in and who is kept on the outside. It's not hard to look at our churches today and get a sense that this is how we have operated in the past, and perhaps how we continue to operate in the future. We have expectations for how people look and who belongs and who doesn't in our congregations. And what we could learn from the story today is that perhaps those expectations are misguided. No, we as God's people should look to his word, as of course the scribes and the chief priests did in our lesson for today, and we should see in fact that the Lord is Lord of all, that he reigns and rules not over a particular people, but over the whole of creation, that he guides and leads and directs all of human history and not merely our own, that he reigns and rules over peoples of all places and times. Here, we can see in this lesson that in fact the Lord Jesus came to redeem all of mankind and not merely a people who live in a particular place, who look a particular way, who sing particular songs, who conduct their business in particular fashion. But in fact, what we learn from the visit of these magi is that the Lord calls whom he wills. He gathers whom he wills. He enlightens and sanctifies whom he wills. And fair enough, he always uses his word to gather his people. He always uses his word to guide and to lead his people. He always uses his word to make his people. We would say, of course, by the waters of holy baptism. But we shouldn't be surprised. In fact, we should expect that our Lord will gather people that are surprising to us. We should expect, in fact, that the Lord will gather people that we don't expect. And we should thank God exceedingly that this is the case, because knowing how sinful and fallen we are so glad, and with the Magi we rejoice exceedingly with great joy that our Lord Jesus Christ died for us, that he redeemed us, and that he has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified us, even though we once were outsiders, even though there were many who might not have expected that we would be called to the family of God. And yet, because our God is good and gracious and merciful, so we have been. And so we can expect the unexpected, that our Lord will call and gather many more, because in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.